Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. We are now in session 10, Shiur 10 of the Chasson Shmooze, You Wish You Had, But Never Had. Again, very quickly, I want to review a couple of important ideas as an introduction that this Shiur is not Piskei Halacha. I'm not qualified to Paskin. I will share with you sources. You yourself can explore those sources and take them where you need to go, discuss them with whoever it is that you discuss halacha with. It's very important also to listen to the shiurim sequentially so that if you're listening to the recording now, it's really important to go through them one at a time from the beginning because we have one idea that's built on another and that it is possible to misunderstand or take something out of context. And again, it's important to note that this is not a regular kind of shiur. We are speaking about sexually explicit matters, and it's a hirashah that people should, who have been exposed to all kinds of other things, should have an opportunity to be exposed to helpful and healthy Torah ideas about sexuality. And finally, I want to point out again that each person knows themselves and what their triggers are, and as the Rambam in Hilchos Deos and Perek Beis Halacha Aleph talks about, that for a sick person, sometimes healthy food is unhealthy, and for a healthy person, medicine could be damaging. It's also that way with Cholei HaNefesh, so people need to understand that even though what we're talking about here is very important and very relevant, it has to fit where you're up to. Any questions or comments, people can feel free to email me at Simcha Feuerman, SimchaFeuerman at gmail.com, or text me at 718-793-1376. I'm a little behind on my emails. Somebody emailed me a couple of days ago. If he's listening, Blineda, I will get to it. It requires a little thought to answer properly. Okay, so where we've been holding is a very important inyan. This is our third shiur dealing with this inyan, and I think it will probably be the last one for this inyan. The issue that we're dealing with is, we know and we've seen, we've talked about those sources, that it's very clear that Torah places a high value on the man, making sure that his wife is sexually pleased, and that he gives her affection and attention. However, what isn't so clear is, what about the man's pleasure? And what's he supposed to look for? And we saw in the other shiurim, some very strong lashonis in Shulchan Aruch that the ideal, and not just the ideal, but even what's considered baseline proper under normal circumstances, is for the man to seemingly go through the sexual experience minimizing his pleasure as much as possible, only doing it with the purest intent. And that's considered the ideal. And then the Rama says, right, the Rama in Eben Ezer, which we quoted last week, the Rama says, technically it's permitted to be with one's wife any which way that he wants. However, that's considered very base. And that's where we're up to. And what we want to talk about this week is, what does all that really mean? We need to understand, what is sexual activity according to the Torah? What's it supposed to be? What's it supposed to accomplish? So we need to understand that better. And we also need to understand what might be a way for a person today to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill these mitzvahs and these activities in a way that's appropriate and reasonable given all the different variables. So it's important to understand and to take a look, and people should look this up inside. The Ramban in his Igaras HaKodesh goes through in great detail his ideas about the function and purpose of sexual union. And I'm just going to quote a couple of excerpts, but there's really much more to say. The Ramban says, Da ki chibur zeh hu inyan kadosh u'naki. First of all, you should know that this connection that happens between man and woman is holy and pure. Kishiyah davar kafimasha roi, ubizmana roi, ubakavona nachona. And that is, if it's done at the proper time in the proper way, one should not think that in any way there's something disgusting about it. And it's not for nothing that the sexual union is referred to da as knowing. And he goes on to say something that's a little hard to understand. In more than a superficial way, he talks about it in more mystical terms. He says, "Tipas azera kishinim shechas b'kedusha v'tara." When the seed comes from a place of holiness and purity, nimshechas mimokam adeya v'abina. It comes from the source of knowledge and understanding, v'amoach. And so he says, when there's a proper union between the man and the woman, and he says the woman is considered tvuna, whatever that means. And so there's two different forces of understanding and knowledge that come together, and then the Kadosh Baruch Hu joins in and blesses them, and that's, you know, between Ish and Isha, Shechina Shruya Beneihem, there is the Shechina. But the Ramban says, Avam lo nisgavnu l'chiber kedusha elo maos tavasim, but if the man and woman don't have in mind this chiber kedusha, and if they only have in mind to fulfill their desires, they're just doing it for hedonistic and lust intent, then there's just fire. Because he says, if you take away Hashem from the equation, which is the Yud and K between Ish and Isha, the Yud and the He between Ish and Isha, you take Hashem out of the equation, and what do you have? You have Ish, you have fire. And that's destructive, and that's where all the bad children come from. He mentions the Ben Sora Mora comes from the man that marries the Eshi Sefat's Torah, which is mentioned right in the parasha before. And therefore, it's not because Stam is a child of an Eshi Sefat's Torah. It's because the chibur, it's because the sexual union was done in a way coming only from lust and not with Kedusha and Tara, and that affects the child. Now, this is said many times in different ways by different Mefarshim. It's important to understand that this is a foundational Jewish idea. It's not scientific in a scientific sense. However, there are, I think, psychological validations to this notion in any case, because it speaks about the whole atmosphere that exists in the parental union and how that atmosphere affects the child, both at the moment of conception and going further. And there's, in another shiur way back, it wasn't in the Chasson Shmuz, it was in one of the Parsha Shiurim, we spoke about epigenetics, that there's a new research today that validates the notion that the environment actually turns on and turns off genes. So even within one's own genetic predispositions, environmental factors can activate or deactivate certain genes. And that really means that the upbringing that one has and the whole parental atmosphere, whether there's love and respect and connection and safety, all those things really affect the not just the psychological development of the child, but possibly even the genetic transmission from generation to generation. And in any case, though, leaving the science of it and psychology of it alone, there is a Masorah, and it is said in many ways by different Mefarshim that the quality, the intellectual and physical quality and spiritual quality of the child is affected deeply by the intent, which we'll talk about more, what is the intent, by the intent and purity that the husband and wife have at the moment of conception. And this is very powerful, and for all of you who are still of childbearing years, I urge you to give this very careful thought. and to apply it sensibly, which we'll talk about at the end of this year, to apply it sensibly in a realistic way, because no, I don't think it's realistic to be saying Tilum Baal Peh in your head while you're trying to engage in the act of intercourse, although someone who's a very big tzaddik might very well do that. I don't think that's realistic, but I do think that there are very realistic ways of fulfilling this, and you will see bracha with your children. This is a mesorah that we have, and there has been reason to validate that from people's personal experiences as well. Now, the Ravid in the Bali Nefesh, which is his sefer on Nida, the Ravid takes somewhat of a different approach than the Ramban. It's not a contradictory approach. It's just he has a different angle, and he basically speaks about five different kavanas for why one might have intercourse, each one being lower than the other, all of them still being what he considers to be good kavanas, but the lower ones are much less praiseworthy, and the Ravid runs through this. It's also brought down partially in the Tor, I believe in Resh Mem, in Siman Resh Mem. Anyway, so the Ravid says like this. He says that the best intention is, the most important thing he says is not to engage in sexual intercourse just for the purposes of lust, because he says that even though technically that's permitted, we've quoted this saying many times from Chazal, where, right, Eiver Katan Yesh Ba'adam, Masbio Roy of Mar Irvo Saveya, that there's a small limb in the person, and if he satisfies it, it is starved, and if he starves it, it's satisfied. And basically he says you'll start with something that's technically permitted, and you'll end up engaging in all kinds of perversions. This is the Ravid's caution, and he's not the only one that says that. But the first kavana and the highest kavana is the same priya or avia, to fulfill the act in order to have children, which is a very big mitzvah. The second, he says, is l'tikun avlad. We know that that there are times where even when a woman is pregnant, that intercourse is favorable for the development of the child. The first 3 months, there's a whole chazal about this. I dafka don't want to repeat it because it's hard to know whether this is meaningful b'zman hazeh, nishtanu atibim, and what not. But the bottom line is that even from an emotional point of view, it's very good for the husband and wife to have normal sexual relations when she's pregnant, and there is a tradition from Chazal that at times that could be very beneficial to the Vlad. One should not ignore a doctor's advice when it comes to this, but the point is that it's a valuable intention to have intercourse in order to create a good environment for the developing fetus. He says the third kavana is if you see that your wife is desirous. How do you know that? She's dressing up. She's in some way trying to get your attention. Then it's a mitzvah to give her attention, and also before you go away, it's a big mitzvah. And he says that's also considered very important. He says that's number three. Number four, the fourth kavana, is if you're doing it only to rein in your taiva. So you're not doing it just hedonistically for lust, that you're arousing your lust, but you feel taiva, you feel physically a pressure, and you're afraid that if you don't satisfy your taiva, you'll end up doing worse averes. He says that's also a good reason. He said it's not quite the highest level, and in some ways a person should try to overcome his Yetzirah and not be a slave to his Yetzirah, but the bottom line is that it can be that a person realizes in himself that he's not able to do this, and it's reasonable and legitimate to engage in intercourse just with the intention that he should not have a taiva for things that are more forbidden. So he says again, not praiseworthy, certainly acceptable. And then he says the fifth one is sometimes it's actually physically healthy to engage in intercourse, that the body at times is strengthened and needs it when it's done in moderation. And if your kavana is for health reasons, this is also okay. But what's the upshot? The upshot is that it's still, we're still seeing, right, that, well, you know, if you have a lot of taiva, really it's better to limit it, but if you must, you could engage in intercourse. And what we're seeing is that's considered much preferred, right? And there is not a very big emphasis so far on the man having any pleasure. In fact, indulging in the pleasure would seem to be problematic. And there are other, you know, the Gemaras that speak about this too, about an ascetic nature, that people should not get much pleasure. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Tesayin Wad Aleph, talks about Avraham, that he never even noticed his wife at all in a beautiful way. He didn't notice her until they were traveling. Hinei no yadati ki isha yufas mara'at. I only realized it now that you are beautiful. So there's a lot of those ideas. However, and here's the however, and this is very important, that there are nuances, because that's not the only thing you're going to see in the Gemara. There are several Gemaras which I would like to share with you that clearly speak about the sensual and pleasurable components of sex from the man's point of view. Let's start with something simple. Gemara in Tainis and Chaf Gimel Amud Beis talks about Abba Chilkiah's wife. Abba Chilkiah was a very holy man. He was the grandson of Choni Ma'ago, and the students who were following him were somewhat taken aback that when his wife came out to greet him, she came out all adorned and beautified. I don't know exactly what that means, whether it means makeup or it means beautiful clothes, but the point is, it was her intention to be very beautiful for him, he's asked, well, why? And he says, Kadesh lo eten enai b'isha acheres. So I will not, my eyes will not wander to another woman. So this doesn't sound like abnegation to me. This doesn't sound like withholding from pleasure. And Abba Chilkiah was a very holy man. Now, you could argue that that's mitzad, the wife's duty. A lot of times you find in the Torah that there are mutual responsibilities. For example, there's an inyan for children to be mechabed their parents. However, it's also an inyan for the parents not to place too much of a burden on the children, that it's considered lifnei iver. So perhaps you could argue that the wife is mechuyevis to make herself beautiful for the husband. That's a possibility, that's true, but who says the husband should be looking for his own pleasure? So that's a legitimate point. But let's take a look at a Gemara in Shabbos on Chof Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos, Chof Hei Amud Beis, quotes Eicha Perakimel Pasuk Yitzayin, and it says, Batiznach Mishom Navshi Noshisi Torva. Peace and tranquility was driven from my soul. I've forgotten good. So the Gemara says, my batiznach mishalom nafshi. What is, you know, peace and well-being was completely neglected in my soul. So Rav Yitzchak Nafcha says, I'm sorry, Reb Abba says, zo mita mutzas, this is a set bed, the ishem bekushetes, and a woman who was adorned. Now that would be enough. But here's the end of it. L'talmidei chachamim, for the chachamim. That Friday night, it's a very special oneg that the woman is, that the bed is made and the woman is adorned for the talmid chacham. Further, the Or HaChaim in Bereishis, Chaf Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches, he comments on this Gemara and he says the following. He says that talmid chacham, the Talmud Chacham needs to have a beautiful woman in order to fight against the Yetzer Hara. So The Chachamim have great intellect, great power, great imagination, and because of that, they also can have great desire, and they should have a beautiful woman. And this is what he says that Gemara is based on. Fascinating. We also know, and we quoted this Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, according to Rashi's Pshat, that Rav Chisda advised his daughters essentially to be seductive. You can look up that Gemara and that Rashi over there. We won't get into it in a moment because of time constraints, and we already discussed that Gemara in a prior shiur. But essentially, Rav Chisda gives his daughters advice on how to be seductive to his sons-in-law. And I would imagine that Rav Chisda's sons-in-laws were no slouches. So, again, you could argue that part is the obligation of the woman. So that Gemara is interesting. However, we're certainly seeing a trend over here that there's plenty of focus in other Gemaras, notwithstanding Shulchan Aruch that we saw, that there is plenty of focus on the sensual and pleasurable aspects of sexuality from the perspective of the man. Now, let's take a look interesting Gemara in Chaf Amud Beis in Nedarim, which we also reviewed, but there was one aspect of the Gemara in Nedarim of Chaf Amud Beis that I did not do in the prior shiur. A small point, but an important point. The Gemara over there discusses whether or not you're allowed to talk during the act of intercourse. And the Gemara says, "Bemili de tashmish, matters relating to sexuality, one could speak about." Now, here's a very interesting turn of the word. The Ran in the Dharma in Chaf Amud Beis comments, "Kedei l'ratzosa," in order to cause her to feel more interested and desirous of sex. So again, that's consistent with many of the views that we have seen, where the emphasis is that the man is obligated to please the woman, but that's the Ran. However, the Rush, in contradistinction to the Ran, the Rush, you can look it up over there, says the following phrase, "Shori laharvos tavoso." It is permitted to talk and engage in sex talk with the wife, whatever that means. Doesn't necessarily mean, my friends, talking dirty. It means saying "I love you" or whatever it is, or "you're so beautiful," or the woman saying back to the man something like that, laharbos tavaso, to increase his taiva. So that's a wrinkle. That's coming from the Rush, and the Rush could have said it the way the Ran said it. The Rush did not say it the way the Ran said it. The Rush was talking about the man's taiva very clearly. Now the Sefer Torah Lishma, to support the Rush, brings down an amazing Rashi. This Rashi is truly amazing. It's a Nida on Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara over there deals with the propriety of engaging in sexual relations during the day, and there are all kinds of problems with that, and it's not preferred ordinarily. Yet the Gemara quotes a Braisa which praises the house of Munbaz. Munbaz was a king and a princely family, and that Gemara, that Braisa, praises the house of Munbaz, who engaged in sexual relations during the day. And the Gemara says, it's one thing, b'diavad, but to actually praise, why would that be? So the Gemara over says, "Mipnei onashena." The people over there were very busy. They were very busy. They had many, many duties and responsibilities, as you can imagine. Running a country is not easy if you really care about the people that you're serving. Then you're going to be busy day and night with petitions and needs and concerns, and so they were exhausted. So sometimes they had to have tashrus during the day to fulfill the mitzvah properly and not be exhausted. Now people speak about that halacha, that maybe under those circumstances, if a person has such a schedule that they're exhausted during the night, that it also may be permitted during the day, and this is definitely something to take up with your halachic advisor. But here's what Rashi says, and this is really, this is key. Rashi says, "Mitoch shehu nenas b'sheina," because he is overcome by sleep, "Eino misavala kolkach," He does not desire her so much. Listen to those words. Remember, this is Rashi, a Rishon. Every word counts. Einu misava lo kol kach. He doesn't desire her so much, i.e., it's important for her to desire her a lot, right? Umishamish l'kiyam mitzvos oina ba'alma. And he just has sexual relations just to fulfill the mitzvah of ona. Ola ratzosa. Just to do the mitzvah of ona because he's obligated to have sex with her, or he does the mitzvah just to please her. V'libo kotzba. But he is disgusted with her in his heart because he's tired and he doesn't want to do it. And this child that will come from that union will be from the children that are spoken about in Hadar Merchaf and Medbeis of all the bad spiritual and physical developments that come from children who are not conceived in the proper environment. And Rashi is saying that the proper environment is that the man be desirous of the woman, not just a little bit desirous, because he says he doesn't desire her so much. No, that he be desirous of her utterly, and that produces a child. Now, that's somewhat contradictory to what we saw in the Ravid, and we need to explain this, which I hope that we will. But that is very powerful, that Rashi, because Rashi is clearly coming out on the side that not only is it okay for the man to desire, but actually that it would be problematic for him to engage in intercourse half-heartedly only for the mitzvah of ona and only for the mitzvah of pleasing his wife, which does seem to a degree contradicting the Ravid, although, again, by the end of this year, I think there'll be a way to explain all of this. I don't really think if the Rashi and Ravid disagreed, it was only in degree, not in full intent. Now, there's something that's also fascinating, which is that the Gemara in Brachos of some of Beis Amud Aleph, which we spoke about before, where Rav Kahana, who is such an eager student and so sincere, would follow Rav everywhere, and he even followed him into the bedroom and was under his bed while listening to Rav engage in his sexual behavior. And that what he noticed was that he was very surprised that Rav was extremely energetic and he was laughing with his wife. And he commented, "Rebbe, it appears as if you haven't eaten in your whole life," meaning you're engaging in intercourse with such gusto and such lust. And the Gemara goes on. You can look it up over there, but that's not the point at the moment. Rav Yaakov Emden, in his marginalia, right? So in the back of every shas, pretty much every shas, we have the comments that Rav Yaakov Emden wrote on the side of his Gemara. And Rav Yaakov Emden says the following, and this is important, Shema Mino, we see from here, Hahu de Nohag Rabbi Elezer, Shagola Tefach, Vadoma Kamisha Kafo Shade, that's the Gemara in the Dharma Chafamud Beis. That practice that Rabbi Lezer had to behave as if he was forced by a demon to limit his pleasure utterly, Milsi Aser de Avad, he did a very extra thing. The Eina Midas Kol Adam, and it is not the way of most people, really all people, Afilu Hagodol Karav, even someone as great as Rav was not on the Madrega of Rabbi Elezer to engage in intercourse, Kamisha Kafo Shade, denying his pleasure. And Rav Yaakov Emden says that means a normal person, and even someone as great as Rav, but not as great as Rabbi Elezer, would engage in intercourse and enjoy himself. Now, here's something that's very disturbing, and it really tells you how confused everybody is about these things. There is a certain popular shas that is printed, and I do not want to say the name because, even though maybe I should, I'm not here to say Lashon Hara about anybody, but there is a popular shas, a very beautiful edition, a new print that's gorgeous, and I wanted to look up Rav Yaakov Emden in that shas because I wanted to see it in clear letters. You know, normally in the back of the Gemara it's all a little tiny, and it's not there. They censored it. They took it out because they didn't like what Rav Yaakov Emden had to say. This is shocking and disturbing to me personally, and I will I will not tell you the name of the publishing company, but I will tell you, if you're in the market to buy a Shas, go to Brachos Samach Beis Amar Aleph. Go to the back. Look for that Yaakov Emden. If you can't find it, don't buy that Shas, because I have no idea what else they don't print that they don't like. And this is Nekach Tos, and it's a terrible thing. But anyway, that just goes to show you how confused everybody is. They can't even tolerate what Rav Yaakov Emden says. Now, do we paskin like Rav Yaakov Emden? As I say, I'm not a posek, so I cannot tell you, you know, whether we paskin like Rav Yaakov Emden or we don't. But Rav Yaakov Emden deserves to be heard. That's for sure. So let's end this year with a very important point, okay? And that is that the Meiri also over there on the Gemara in Nida says something similar to Rashi. He says, "Kidei shehiu biosav beritzui chiba," that his intercourse should be with acceptance and love. And I think that really this is not so complicated. I think that regardless of what people on a very high madrega could possibly achieve, and that's a very big inyan, what's very reasonable and doable and a way to walk with God is to engage in the act of sexuality with the intent that you want to strengthen and build the bond between yourself and your wife. And that is your primary overriding intention. And that is different than lust. Lust is masturbational. That's not what we're talking about over here. But pleasure is not masturbational. Meaning, if you go into the experience, like Rashi seems to be talking about and others talk about, with the idea that you want to be bonded. The Ramban also mentions in his Igeres HaKodesh, now granted, he has a stronger take on this, you know, a more abstentionist take, but still he does mention that you say dvarim shemoschenes liba, that draw our hearts close, umyashvenes daita, umsamchenosa, make her happy, kidesha tiksha daita b'daitcha, that your thoughts and her thoughts should be tied together, and that's how you create a beautiful child. Anyway, that's the Ramban in the Geras HaKodesh. The point is, on a real everyday level, for us normal human beings, and Rav Yaakov Emden would submit, even Rav was a normal human being, which is interesting, but whatever you want to understand it, the idea here is engage in this activity with the purpose to give pleasure, to take responsibility, to please your wife, but to receive pleasure, not for the sake of lust, but to create the bond, to feel hakaras hatov, to feel love, to feel connected. When the hormones flow, there's a bonding hormone that goes on between the husband and wife that creates a loyalty week after week, year after year, and the intensity and the love that can build up over years when this is done properly is not compared to anything. So that's the conclusion for this year. Let us say that there are many opinions here, and there's many ways of doing it, and as Gemaras often go, There are oftentimes multiple opinions that appear to be contradictory. But after all said and done, it is possible with a certain degree of clarity and intelligence to understand that the basic idea here is to not be in a state of selfish lust, but to do whatever it takes, and that includes experiencing your own pleasure, to have a connection and a loyalty and a love between husband and wife. And I believe, and again, I can't paskin for you, there's a lot of views going over here, you have to study it yourself, but I believe that this is very healthy and sensible and holy, and I believe if it's done that way, that tremendous brachas will come to you and your family. So I really wanted to finish this sugya. I won't have time for questions. We'll end this year for today. People, again, could email or text. Text is 718-793-1376. And the email is simchafeuerman@gmail.com, simchafeuerman@gmail.com. Everybody should be Matzliach. Have a great Shabbos.